We're so glad you've joined us once again here on Family Talk with my dad and your host, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Lou Ann Crane. And Lou Ann, yesterday we heard the first half of a conversation we had with my dad not that long ago on the spiritual training of children.
Well, it's such an important responsibility, Ryan, something your dad is passionate about helping parents like you and me with. Last time we heard three of Dr. Dobson's fundamental principles on the spiritual training of our kids, and let's recap those very quickly. The first was talk to your children about the Lord and do it at an early age and continually, even throughout the day. Your dad refers to those early years as one of the most critical periods of child development.
That's right, Luann. He also says the task of introducing your kids to Jesus Christ is our number one job as parents. The second principle was to teach your children to pray. And to do that, we need to model that behavior and explain to them how they can talk to God and that He's always there when we need Him.
The third was to start instilling the scripture in their hearts and minds at the youngest age, even in the preschool years.
The little kids just absorb everything like a sponge.
You're noticing that now.
Oh my goodness, am I ever. And those verses they're learning will come back to them when they need them. You know, it's so crazy to hear Lincoln mention the Bible out of the context of church or when, you know, we're praying with him as a family because it has sunk in and he is thinking about it. And that's why I'm anxious to get to the fourth and final principle of the topic we started yesterday.
Let's do it, Ryan. Here now is the rest of our conversation with your dad, Dr. James Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
You know, it is such a blessing to be here to discuss these things because I get to go home and help with Lincoln and with Laura and things like that. I feel like a better parent.
You know, it'd wear us out, but we could easily do 2 or 3 hours on the subjects that we introduce because there is so much to talk about.
There is, and we will get to the fourth one, I promise. That fourth component of the spiritual training of children is really found in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Dr. Dobson. I don't care where you look at it, in the NIV, it says pray continually. The classic King James, pray without ceasing. Even the Living kind of puts it out there, never stop praying.
That does get it said, Luann, and this takes us to another critically important responsibility held by parents. Our children are growing up in a world that's much farther gone into moral decline than the world into which we were born. Yeah. That is a phrase from a letter that my father sent to me that had a profound impact on me. You know, I think it was 1969 when he wrote that to me and was trying to tell me that the spiritual training of your children is more important than all the great things that are happening in your life. I'm proud of you. It's wonderful what God's doing with you. But don't forget, if you lose those kids, then you lose it. And this is another quote from that letter. When you sit where I am and you look back over your life, all the things that you've accomplished will be pale and washed out if you lose your children. It had a profound impact on me, and it is why I walked out of USC School of Medicine. I was loving what I was doing there and started focus on the family in order to be at home more with my family.
Well, it's kind of a cliche, doctor, but it is true that people are the only thing that you can take with you to heaven.
You know, Dad, I've heard you talk about that letter from Gigi, from your dad, and about how it's tougher on kids today than it was in the past. And I experience that with parents where I go and talk to them about their kids, and they go, you know, it was tough when I was a kid. And I say, it was. It's just not as hard as it is today. It's totally changed, which makes this so much more important. It gets more important every single year.
Well, it is true that the world has gone much farther into moral decline than certainly the world in which I was born, and I think for the two of you as well. Kids are surrounded by harmful and wicked influences that would destroy them if there's no one there to protect them, you know, from pornography and from profanity and in many places gambling in the neighborhood and from ungodly belief systems and all sorts of immoral behavior. Children are introduced to perverse adult behavior when they're 5, 6, and 7 years of age. I don't understand that, but it happens. And especially as children move into the middle school years and beyond, we as parents need to hold them before the Lord in prayer. Mm-hmm. We need divine help if we're going to keep our children from that which would warp and twist their young minds.
It could be more true. I work with young people all throughout the summer and all throughout the year, and I can verify that the pressure for immoral behavior is almost unbearable in some systems.
You sometimes come home from those trips and you tell me what teenagers have said to you. These are kids in Christian homes who attend strong Christian churches, and they're telling you things that even shock you.
It's true. You know, I wrote Be Intolerant, which is based on the belief that there is an absolute right and wrong. I wrote that based on a conversation I had at a Christian school. I had got done preaching on the scripture that Christ is the only way to heaven, and had a short conversation with a little 13-year-old afterwards where she said that she didn't think it was fair that I said Christ was the only way to heaven. And I thought, you go to a Christian school, you have a Bible class every day, and somehow you've been taught it's not fair to say Christ is the only way to heaven. If that's in Christian schools, just think of what's happening everywhere else.
And that is the popular notion by the society at large, and it has found its way into the world of the young.
And I'm struck, Doctor, not only are the influences deeper, but the boundaries that I used to have as a mom seem to be shattered. You know, the culture has that direct beeline to my kids by a cell phone or the internet or their iPod or their iPhone or something like that. We've lost all ability, it seems, to hold back all of the culture.
And isn't it funny that we used to have the very long cord to the phone before there were cordless
phones? I could stretch that pretty far.
Stretch it into a closet. Your sister's banging on there. Yeah. You're trying to get privacy, things like that. That's not there anymore. You've got a cell. Almost every high school kid has a cell phone.
And I think of that with the boys calling the girls. I mean, there was a certain time that if you knew you had to go through dad maybe picking up the phone, that was enough to stop you from calling that girl. You don't have that anymore.
Now it's girls calling boys.
That's a point that I dealt with at some length in the book. Mm. Girls are now the aggressors. Yeah. But that's another subject. We'll get to that someday. But if parents are very, very busy, the world has a way of simply making you run faster and faster. You may not be watching or be aware of what's going on in the world of the young. Take a stroll sometime through a mall on Friday night and look around. Hmm. And what do you see? You see girls and boys who appear to be emotionally lost and spiritually bankrupt. Mm-hmm. You know, the clothes they wear, the profanity they use, the extreme ways they present themselves expose a poverty of the soul. It is sadness on parade. Hmm. I mean, that describes at least the way I see what's happening in the absence of moral training for many kids.
It sure seems pretty dark.
It does. Dr. Ken Taylor, the godly patriarch who started Tyndale House Publishers, he was my first publisher. And it was a man who had deep convictions about things. He wrote the Living Bible and then the New Living Translation. He knew the scriptures. And as he got older, he was saddened by what he saw. And there's a story that I heard about him toward the end of his working life. And he was invited to a high school football game. And he went with somebody else, and he was sitting in the bleachers, and he was not watching the football game, although he would have been interested in it. He wasn't bored with what was going on, but he looked around at the kids, and he heard them, and he saw them, and he sensed that poverty, that spiritual poverty of the soul. And it upset him so he didn't say anything to anybody. He disappeared, and he went home. But it wasn't because he was mad at anybody. He went home to pray. He went home to pray for those kids because he was so burdened for them. And I feel the same way.
It reminds me of Jesus in the New Testament when it says he was looking out over the crowds and his heart was filled with compassion. Yeah. That's really what you're describing.
And he sat on the hillside overlooking Jerusalem. And the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Mm-hmm.
Doctor, that actually gives me enormous comfort to know that when my heart as a mom is breaking, my Lord's heart is also breaking. It really is the key verse for Moms in Touch. I'm an unabashed fan of Moms in Touch, where you gather to pray, and their key verse is exactly that. It talks about how we can pour our hearts out like water before the Lord for the lives of our children. In fact, it's Lamentations 2:19. If I can just read it.
Please do.
Arise, cry in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children. There's no greater calling.
You know, as a dad, it's a comfort to me too. And it constantly boggles my mind that the creator of all things, it says through him all things are held together, listens to me. Mm-hmm. I can intercede on my son's behalf, my wife's behalf. And as a father, as the spiritual leader of a household, the ultimate responsibility is placed on me. Mm-hmm. And I love being able to go to someone who is more powerful than me, all-knowing, who cares about me and my family and our concerns.
You know, speaking personally, there are areas of my life, there are theological understandings and other things that I can't quite get my arms around. You just eventually come to the point where you say, I'll know on the other side, but I can't figure it out now. That is at the top of the list. How in the world could it be that the God who made this vast universe, you know, astronomy and physics are hobbies of mine, and I spend quite a bit of time looking at what's out there and the implications of this vast universe. He spun it into space with a word. He has no limitations, no needs. He has every answer to every problem. He's the great physician. He has, as I said, no limitations. Why would he care about me? Why would he want me to talk to him? Why has he not only invited me into a conversation with him, he has commanded me to talk to him? Why does he love me? Why does he love each of you? You know, that is just beyond my understanding. And furthermore, we don't have to ask for an appointment. We don't have to see an administrative assistant. We don't have to wait till it comes up on his calendar. We can pause at any moment and say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. Will you be with me? Will you be with my children?
Yes.
Lord, when they're out there beyond my reach, and they don't know what to do, and they're being tempted, and their peers are putting pressure on them, would you be there? Would you whisper in their ears? I tell you what, that'll set you on fire if you ever get a hold of that.
How many times have you prayed that prayer for Danae and I?
Oh, thousands.
And you still do.
Thousands. Still
when
do.
I call you with a problem, I'm telling you, just I think it was yesterday, I called with an issue, and you said, your mom and I are getting ready for our devotions. We will pray for you. And I always know that you are, and it gives me peace. It gives me peace to know that somebody is going to call on the Lord on my behalf, no matter where I'm at, and I know you guys are doing it.
And you can be sure we did last night.
And not only that, I can be sure the Lord hears you.
He hears it. How do we comprehend that?
I have any idea.
Now, for the parent that's overwhelmed out there, has perhaps a 14, 15, 16-year-old, who they know
or a three
is
and a half year old.
But the adolescent particularly who's doing wrong things and they know it, and they've done their best to pull them back into line, and they don't know where to go from here. They go to their knees. And, you know, that's what Shirley and I did, and we called on the Lord, as you said, Ryan. And I want to read something from my book that Shirley included in one of hers. I'm not sure where this was originally published, but I have it in my files. And, you know, she is chairman of the National Day of Prayer, and prayer has been the passion of her entire life, beginning at 6 years of age when she gave her heart to the Lord. But this is her message to moms and dads. when confronted with the awesome responsibilities of parenthood, not to mention the evil in today's world. It's no surprise that many parents feel an urgent need to pray continually for their children. When our daughter Danae was about 3 years old, Jim and I realized that we as parents needed divine help. We began fasting and praying for her, and later for our son Ryan, almost every week, a practice that has continued down to this day. Our prayer went something like this: Lord, give us the wisdom to raise the precious children that you've loaned to us, and above all else, help us to bring them to the feet of Jesus. This is more important to us than our health or our work or our finances. What we ask most fervently is that the circle be unbroken when we meet in heaven. God has not only answered this prayer, but blessed it in ways that we never anticipated. In addition, the act of fasting each week serves as an important reminder of our priorities. Finally, our children were influenced by these acts of discipline. When they observed us fasting or praying, they gave us the opportunity to explain why we did these things, how much we loved them, and how much we loved and trusted the Lord. God hears and honors, in His perfect timing, our petitions on behalf of our children. If you want the very best for your sons and daughters, I urge you to call on the greatest power in the universe in frequent prayer. And in the final paragraph that I wrote, Shirley's words go to the heart of what I believe most passionately. It is why throughout my professional life, I have encouraged Christians to introduce their boys and girls to Jesus Christ and to continually hold their names before the Lord in prayer. After all, and I repeat what I said on the program yesterday, the only way you can be with your sons and daughters in the next life, if you and they know Him as Lord and Savior.
That is an amazing legacy that Mrs. Dobson has laid down for your family, Doctor. I mean, we're witnessing a lot of that here. I can't help but think of the mom listening right now, though, who is feeling guilty. I mean, she's listening to that and she knows it's the right thing. She's saying, Doctor, I didn't do that. Whether I'm a new Christian or I've just shirked that responsibility, she's just under a burden of guilt right now saying, I've dropped the ball.
I'm very mindful of that person out there. There's always a danger in pointing people in the right direction that you will overwhelm and discourage and fill others with guilt when they have not accomplished that. I tell you, first of all, the Lord is still there for you too. You've made mistakes. Admit them, repent of them, and determine to set your course in the right direction. You can do it. I know guilt is everywhere on this subject, especially when we talk as we have today of people feeling, I intend to pray with my kids. I intend to teach them the scripture. I intend to pray fervently for them. But I go a day or two or three. I'm so overwhelmed with life. I've got so many problems of my own, maybe marital problems, maybe financial, maybe business. And so 2 days goes to four and to five and a week and several weeks and a month and a year goes by. And those children are growing up around your feet and it gets away from you. Life gets away from you. And I don't want to make people feel bad. I want to offer hope and suggestions to them that will help them avoid looking back from the other end of life and saying, what was I thinking? You know, I don't know if that's helpful to people at all, but I wish we could reach through these microphones and put an arm around those folks out there who are saying, I want to do better. Will you pray for me? I hope people will contact us on our website and tell us what they're thinking about what we're saying today. Interact with us. I don't want this to be a monologue or a three-a-log, whatever you call three people talking together. I want it to be a dialogue. I want it to be an effort to help people deal with very real problems, and this one is huge.
Well, they can contact us at myfamilytalk.com. You know, Dad, you said repent for when we've not done what we're supposed to be doing. I've talked to a lot of kids, a surprising number of kids, whose parents have heard a program like this and not just repented to the Lord, but gone to their sons and daughters mm-hmm. and said, you know what? I didn't do the job I was supposed to, and I need to tell you I'm sorry, and I'm going to try to start now. And that has made huge inroads. It's built enormous bridges between parents and kids because the kids know they've been a little bit neglected, or maybe they should have been taught certain things. And for a parent to say they were wrong and they're going to make a change has made a big difference.
It's never too late.
That's
right. As long as there's life, it's never too late. And prayer is efficacious at any time. You know, I'm thinking, Luann, about the people out there who themselves came to Christ late. Some of them as adults and their kids are grown. It's too late to do these things, but it's not too late. You can go to your knees in prayer. And if your kids have drifted from the faith, you can still be praying for them. You can't force them to do what's right. But you can talk to the Lord about them, and that's what today's spiritual recommendation or principle is all about.
And we even want to teach people how to pray, Doctor. If they've come to Christ later in life and they don't really even understand what it means, one of the best things I learned at Moms in Touch is just the four steps of prayer. And I've heard your wife talk about this. It's the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the first is adoration. You spend a minute or two praising God for who He is. C, confession. You take a moment and you clear your heart before the Lord. The third is thanksgiving. I almost want to make sure I'm thanking the Lord for what we've prayed for yesterday that He's responded to. Then last is the S for supplication. It's an old-fashioned word that means I ask and I give my petitions. So often as a mom, I am guilty of jumping right to the God, I need this, God, I need this. But I can't tell you the number of times that when I've started with that A of adoration, perhaps the characteristic we want to thank the Lord for that day is His power. And by the time I get to the asking at the end, the power of God is the exact answer I've needed for that request at the end. And my heart is ready for it, and the Lord has heard it. It's just a great way to bring your children before the Lord.
That is so good, Luann. And I would like to remind people that God loves your children more than you do. He understands what it is you're asking of Him. You don't have to beg Him. It's not like you need to talk Him into something. He wants what you want at this point. That's why He has called us to a prayer. You used an old-fashioned word of supplication. I use the word intercession, where one person can pray for another. And I hope that's well understood.
You know, Luann, let's put that ACTS online as well. For people that want to download that, we'll give you a summary of what that means at myfamilytalk.com.
And it's not overwhelming, Ryan. We're not talking 2 hours a day, you know, Mother Teresa kind of a thing. We're talking, I can do this in just a few minutes. The Lord is there. He wants to
hear from
you. I
can do it driving to work. I can do it at work. You know what? That's what we talk about. We're praying all the time.
In fact, some people might need to do that right now, as soon as this broadcast is done.
Let me lead in prayer.
Please do.
Heavenly Father, I thank You for the presence that we feel in this studio today. You are here. You led us to deal with this subject, and I believe You have been here as we've tried in an inadequate way to follow that prescription. I pray for those who have been listening out there who feel guilty, who feel that they have not measured up in this most important responsibility in parenting. I ask You to speak to them, give them the words to say. What is so moving and encouraging to us is that the Scripture tells us that while we're praying, You're praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but You take those petitions, those expressions from our heart, and You then translate them to the heart of God. Do that today. Encourage those who are discouraged. And especially, Lord, I pray for the sons and daughters that are in spiritual need today, that you will be working on their hearts as well. And we dedicate this prayer and this program and indeed all of our efforts to you. In thy name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. A fitting way to end this two-day conversation with our host, Dr. James Dobson, about the responsibility we have as parents to truly train up our children in the way they should go. We hope this program has given you yet another tool in your parenting toolbox for this extremely important task.
And as promised, we will have a link to those four steps of prayer at myfamilytalk.com, along with the four fundamentals of the spiritual training of your children.
If you've been helped by this conversation today, there are lots more parenting resources available at myfamilytalk.com. You'll even find a number of articles and book excerpts on this topic written by Dr. Dobson.
We've also put together two different sets of CDs. There's three in each of some of our favorite Family Talk broadcasts on the topic of parenting. And you can call us for that at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. You can also request it at myfamilytalk.com.
You can tell we're serious about this business of helping people parent properly, aren't we, Ryan?
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us today, and make plans to be with us tomorrow right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.